So I was recently down in Phoenix, Arizona. There was a conference I went to, and my family is down there, my grandfather and aunts, and so we went down there also to visit family. And I brought my wife and my kids with them, or with me, I should say, so they weren't just distant Facebook pictures and posts, right? Like, I wanted my grandfather to meet his latest great-granddaughter, right? So it was, we came down there. It was wonderful. I was prepared for a lot of things, but there was one thing I was not prepared for when I got down there. It was the memory of smells. I was not prepared for this. It completely caught me off guard when I got down there. So we arrive at my grandfather's house, right? Go in there, open the door, and I mean, growing up in Phoenix, about third grade, we moved to Oregon, but as a kid, I remember going to my grandfather's house, going down in the basement and rolling pool balls into pockets, right? That's how kids played pool, right? And we go down there, and so I walk into the house, and I smell it, and all these memories of the pool and the basements, food around the dining room table just came flooding back because of that smell when I walked through that front door. Smell is an amazing memory thing to cause you to remember. And it all came flying back. In fact, we were having dinner together, in the evening at the same dinner table that I ate at when I was a kid. And I, you know, it was just good memories, and smell kind of kicked it off. I mean, I'd gone down before, but I don't know, this time was something that was just different. Smells made a difference. And it continued even during the conference. The conference was at Christ Church in downtown Phoenix. And that was the church I was baptized at as a child. And so I got to take my two oldest kids and show them where Dad was baptized. And as a pastor and as a Lutheran, that's like, you know, that's like going to Vegas or something, right? It's really great to do. And so, you know, I'm there. I got to do that. All these great new memories are coming from the conference. So the first day the conference happens, you get your name badge. And they usher you into the sanctuary at first to get a bag and stuff. And I walk through the big wooden door, like the threshold into the church, and smells. Like the same, it smelled like the church I remembered from when I was a little kid. Like these memories came back. I apparently used to say the pastor's parts and not the congregational parts. Right? All these memories of going to church with my family, and all those good things and new things were now lumped in to because of those smells. You know, smell has an amazing way to bring back memories. I'm sure you probably have your own thoughts now. You smell certain things, and it brings you back to those moments or those important people in your life. Smell has this powerful way to cause us to remember like no other thing out there. Maybe pictures closest. Smell is a powerful memory tool. It's a way of remembering and then making things from the past present today. King David writes in Psalm 141, "Let my prayer rise up before you like incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." You know, David here connects the intentions of his heart with the smells and memories of worshiping God there in Psalm 141. You know, incense is that visual of like prayers lifting up, but it's a smell thing, right? Like it brings you right into that moment. And then the evening sacrifice. Who here has ever like killed game and then butchered it or cooked meat? Okay, you got one of them, unless you're a vegetarian all your life. You've had to have one of those where that smell of meat kind of brings you back into that moment, right? And then you start flooding, you know, maybe dinner and table or whatnot. Smell just has this power to make the past present, to cause us to remember. God gave Israel many ways to remember his gracious choosing of them and his deliverance of his people. But not just to remember it, though, when God causes these things, but so we can see what God is doing through them and trust and have faith. This Lenten season, we are looking at the way the Bible uses the word remember and has several different ways of doing this, remembering his wondrous works. You heard it in our reading from tonight in verse 4. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. And so when we think about the way the Bible uses the word remember, we're kind of saying, where are some of these action things in which God is going to be causing people to remember? And he had all sorts of ways he helped Israel remember this, his wondrous deliverance and care for them. Some of his things that he did, Jericho, right? People marching around and the walls were brought down by how? By horns, right? Not cannons, or I don't even think they had cannons back then. Siege walls, siege things, I don't know, right? You know, but trumpets, wondrous signs of God's deliverance and care for him, as one example, right? There were some other ones, manna in the wilderness. It probably didn't taste good, but it sustained them. He wondrously provided so they could survive as they wandered in the wilderness, right? And the most important one we think about this is their slavery in Egypt, right? A people oppressed by the Egyptians, and God wondrously delivered them by all those sign acts he did, right? There were those moments and those plagues and whatnot were supposed to be a sign, I love you, and I'm going to deliver you from your bondage. And then there's the marvelous going over the Red Sea and then exiting out into the wilderness, right? Wondrous signs that are supposed to point the people back to God's love and care and deliverance for their life. God gave Israel many ways to remember and to reflect on that. But the story of God's people, maybe the story of every human being, is that we often kind of forget about these wondrous works, right? When Israel was led out into the desert, what was one of the first things they did? Second thing, because at first they celebrated. They were pretty happy at first. But they got out there, and what did they do? They grumbled. You know, they were hungry. I get it. I mean, you're hungry. You're going to, you know, you don't know where your food's coming from. You're going to get a little nervous. Makes complete sense, right? But what did they do? Instead of thinking about God's wondrous deliverance, what he had done, they remembered the one security they had, the food that they grew, the wonderful, like, melons and stuff in Egypt. So instead of remembering these wondrous deliverances, they remembered not that thing, right? They remembered food. They remembered something that was made them feel secure, right? This is one of the stories of the Bible. God does these wondrous acts of deliverance for his people all the way through Scripture, even till today. And God's people kind of have a hardened heart, right? They, for some reason, don't look at the wondrous deliverance he had provided and instead focus on their human, whatever might be in any sort of circumstance. Why is that? That we forget these wondrous works of God in our lives? It's a good question, because you might be wondering, you think about God's great deliverance in the past, and you could ask yourself, is God still doing wondrous acts these days? Like, is God still delivering as he has delivered before? And what's something to remember when you think about God's wondrous acts, it was always to point his people back to his love and his deliverance of them. I mean, that's why he did. They were supposed to point people to trust and love God. I remember when I was at the last synodical convention, not the greatest thing in the world to go to, but this was a wonderful thing that happened there. They had a bishop from the Ethiopian Lutheran Church come and speak about what God was doing in Ethiopia and through the church there. And I might tell you, brothers and sisters, it was an amazing testimony to God's wondrous works. I remember, so this church body, they mobilize people like crazy to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So pastors, deacons, deaconesses, missionaries, evangelists, lay people, like they're all mobilized and they're out there like sharing the gospel and doing the great work that they have been called to do. And there was one time he shared a story of they were a group of Christians in a home and a group of terrorists or just violent people came to attack them in this house, right? So they're trying to get in the house, and a lady who's one of the church workers and some other people ran into a bathroom and shut the door and locked it. And they just started praying to God to protect us and to deliver us from this circumstance. I mean, they were scared. They thought that they were about to lose their life. And so they're praying fiercely in that bathroom. And so the story was shared that, you know, it was kind of like a hallway with a bunch of doors. And the guys got in, and like one by one, like a door was kicked down to try to find people. And so you could hear it, you know, door by door by door. And so they're there, and like, you know, doors, you can look down at the bottom and there's a little light you can see through there. And so they were praying, they're also looking down there, and they saw like a body in front of the door. Like their door was next. And they were just praying that God would protect them. And she said, for some reason, that door was not touched. Like the shadow was there, and then it just moved on. Didn't even touch the door. The next door is broken down. I mean, the house was ransacked. God protected his people. And that's a current event, right? Now, why did God protect them? Why did God protect those people there? First of all, he loves and cares for every human being. He loved and cares for his people. And so he did a wondrous work in their presence. Like he protected them in their time of need. But they thought he also protected them so they could give praise to God for his wondrous deliverance in their life. Another testimony to who God is for his people. A wondrous work by God is still happening around us all the time. Now, you guys, personally too, maybe you haven't had an experience like that. You might have had your own, which is great. But you all have actually had the wondrous work of God in your life. Right over there. Maybe not that baptismal font. I don't know. Anyone original to this congregation? We got one person. All right. So were you baptized at this? Not that one? Not that one. But in this building, maybe? Okay. Hey, we got a building. All right. Good. Yeah. Right? Baptismal font. That is a moment in your life where God did a wondrous work, like a mysterious, glorious, gracious, loving thing where he made you his child. Now, Jesus Christ on the cross, he died so we may have life with God, that we know we're redeemed and that we have been rescued, and that his big rescue plan to redeem and restore the whole world is going to happen. And you have participated in that cross through that baptismal font. Like 2,000, 3,000 years have flown by, and at that moment, that memory of the cross and you were brought together. A wondrous work of God in your life. Not only that, but the Lord's Supper. Once again, the cross is brought through time and space and even like substance, material stuff. And God is wondrously present, graciously letting you know that you are his child, that you are forgiven, so you can trust in him. Wondrous works of God. God gives us these wondrous works so we can have the one thing that matters, trust in him and his plan. So when you think about God's wondrous works, we remember what he has done and what he is still doing so we can live by faith. Amen.